long
So I was playing Far Cry 2 with my friend, and I jumped the thing off a thing, and then I saw an animal, and then
my gun
jammed.
Did I tell you about how, did I tell you about the 45 minutes I spent when I found the fucking...
It's the Ides of April 2010, and this is the Idle Thumbs Podcast, Episode 6.
I'm Chris Remo.
And I'm Jake Rodkin.
And we're joined today by Sean Famous Vanneman. Steve Gaynor is on assignment in Kiev. Hey,
guys.
Sean.
Hey. Hey, friends.
What's up, dude?
Not a whole heck of a lot.
For those who did not hear Famous on his first appearance on the Idle Thumbs podcast during GDC, he, like Jake, is an employee of Telltale Games.
We make games with computers.
We use computers to make video games.
Yes, that's what we do.
I hear that you love when people call you Famous.
It's pretty great. It's really good. I like when I'm playing TF2 at lunchtime and a stranger calls me Famous by going, "Nice cap, Famous." Who the hell? Yeah, that's always great when that happens. So,
our goal.
Thank you, Christopher.
Oh, no problem.
Our goal is
well
to make
I think
the
Jake
Google
is the
auto
one
suggest
who created that actually.
If you can get to the Google auto suggest, you put Sean F and it gets to. Do you mean Sean Famous Vanneman?
Yeah.
The same way you can't get to Hot Scoo without saying Steve Hot Scoops Gainer.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
I think we can pull that off.
That's not.
Anyway,
we want Sean Vanneman to say, did you mean Sean Famous Vanneman?
That'll happen. Yeah.
Anyway, so we're here to talk about video and computer games.
For sure.
I'm going to be playing the role of Steve Gaynor today.
Oh, yeah?
It'll be great.
God damn it. I wanted to talk about StarCraft.
You're not allowed to. Or you can, and then I will say something mean halfway into your first sentence. Go ahead. Try.
Did you guys see this crazy fucking Infinity Ward nonsense?
Yes.
This has been ridiculous.
This is like, going to be a movie, maybe.
It is going to. Yeah, it's like Pirates of the Silicon Valley.
Yeah. So people keep actually referring it to when I talk to them.
Do they really?
I hear,
I'm
lame, the third person. No, but it's okay. I mean, that just means hive mind. But yeah.
It's all right. It just means you've been subjugated by an alien race with no will of its own.
It just means you're somebody who's in their 20s and lives in San Francisco. And
it's just like Pirates of Silicon Valley, that TV film movie.
But no, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It really is.
Like we cover all this stuff at Gamma Sutra because we're explicitly about the industry side of things. And I mean, every day we've had multiple news stories about Infinity Ward because some other incredibly high profile person will leave and I don't know, maybe they'll go to the new, like there's a new studio being set up by the
It exists.
Well,
yeah.
They don't have a building yet, I don't think, or anything, and I don't really think they
have EA Partners funding.
Yeah.
they got the Brinks truck, which is nice. But I guess you get that when you make
the Brinks truck.
The Brinks truck. That's where the money comes in. The Brinks truck. They back it up.
Yeah.
And beep.
Just shovel it into
beep,
the office.
Beep.
Dump it.
Yeah. And then a door flies open and just take what you want. Please leave some, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because you just imagine like that's such high stakes.
I know.
Like what was I don't know what it's like to work at a place where like that stuff is on the table and happening in front of you. That's got to be crazy. I don't know. I know. Weird.
Well, there might not be a lot of people watching that in the near future. I don't know. It seems like that studio is just going to be gutted in the near future. Or like it seems like it's being gutted in slow motion right now.
Yeah, there's still a Call of Duty to be made though, right? So.
Yeah, but the
but new dudes are making that,
yeah,
right?
Like
the guys who left EA?
Yes.
There's a little like a little going on.
Yeah, this is like a base trade. It's like, here's my dorky analogy. It's like in StarCraft when
you're going to talk about StarCraft now?
When you get rushed by like one of your opponents rushes you and like immediately runs into your base and your whole army is out in the middle of the map and he starts taking out your base and then instead of defending you just run right over to his base.
Oh, so it's like Pikmin.
And start fucking that up.
When
Pikmin is like
they're going for your marble.
Exactly.
Well, this is essentially, I mean,
so they're going for, you know, EA and Activision going for each other's marbles.
Right.
I like the snideness in the press releases. It pleases, or just in the comments that it's like the sound bites that get posted about
Activision just like It's to be expected from these fuckers.
Whoa! It's hilarious.
He's scheming. They call them schemers.
Just, like, cut to, like, insert shot of, like, Gargamel and Snidely Whiplash or whatever. I don't know. Just, I guess, or comic book guy, apparently.
It's funny, because they're, like, like, the old dude from Caddyshack or something, and, like, then there's, like, EA is like slick haired and like,
oh yeah,
well, whatever, EA, dude.
Did you see the statement, from EA when this was right before it was revealed that EA Partners was funding Respawn, the new place?
Mm-mm.
And so we contacted them to ask them about, because at this point, even though it had not been officially announced, the rumors were incredibly strong.
Just like EA was probably picking these guys up. Yeah.
And this was right when Activision had countersued those guys, calling them schemers.
Right.
And and so we contacted EA.
You're a schemer.
Yeah. that was their legal defense.
Yeah.
Schemers.
Three counts of scheming.
And so we the official statement about this to us from EA was, sorry, you know, there isn't enough time in the day to comment on the lawsuits Activision continually brings against its employees.
Oh, that's the quote I was thinking of.
It reminds me a lot in terms of just like, whoa, of when Double Fine and this Brutal Legend stuff was happening, where it was just like, what in the world are you guys all saying? Where like the quote in the press release from Tim was like, to quote Beyonce, if they liked it, they should have put a ring on it or whatever.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Well, like, that's the response out of EA.
Yeah, whoever's in charge of that EA message deserves a fucking high five.
I think it's Jeff Brown over at EA. Yeah, he's, I think, the one who's usually responsible for that.
The tone when they engage these sorts of things in,
yeah,
pleases
it's
me
completely
to know.
Flip
it's
and
really
hilarious.
Good.
Because like, the Double Fine one, didn't they also say something like, well, it sounds like,
jealous husband.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah. All that stuff is just, it's hilarious. Yeah.
Well, is it?
I mean, even though it's kind of immature and ridiculous, I'm glad it's getting to that point, because that's how most other industries operate. And for traditionally, the video game industry is so message
like
controlled that every single statement is just the most like spineless ground, like just weak ass legal statement ever. And at least we're finally getting, I mean, this stuff is childish anyway, regardless of how you frame it, so you might as well frame it honestly. You know what I mean? Like, this is extremely rich people bickering over additional millions of dollars. Like, at the end of the day, that's what's going on. And so, if that's what it's going to be, you might as well have people
call
just
each
address
other
it
schemers
honestly.
And
yeah,
jealous husbands.
Exactly.
And stuff.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
and quote Beyonce in official form. Yeah.
Not that most game developers are rich people, but certainly these two guys are not poorly, you know, that bad off at the moment. So,
but like, it's, I mean, unlike any other kind of industry, I can't think of another industry that's quite like the game industry, where the audience for the product is so ready to kind of
pick a side. And
yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like,
well,
no one,
you can be a film lover, but you're not like, ho, executive shakeup at Fox. Like,
yeah,
no one, exactly. Like, what?
Yeah, no one gives a shit. Yeah.
Well, they immediately gets textured as dudes are the little guys, and these, you know what I mean? It's like,
well, the reason for that is that at the end of the day, like, games are still made more by corporations than movies are. Like, mm-hmm. even an independent development studio, that's a corporation.
Well, that's true, but
that is making this game.
That,
like,
on top of the fact that games, for the longest time, like, and being fans of games, it was about being the fan of a studio. Like,
exactly,
you're the fan of
right.
these
that's
40
what I mean.
Dudes who have
exactly.
an office. And, I mean, they weren't always corporations. You could be a fan of id Software, but now Bethesda Softworks, I guess, right? Or
yeah.
who is that?
Yeah, ZeniMax, which also
ZeniMax.
Bethesda, mm-hmm. yeah.
Right.
That sounds like a make-believe corporation in a
ZeniMax
movie.
Yeah, ZeniMax might be the villains from
yeah.
Seekers.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, like, all that stuff is escalated now, where it's just, oh, I love those guys who made Warcraft.
I know.
Oh, mean Activision.
You mean Activision Blizzard?
Right.
A, like, global conglomerate that is majority
right, like,
owned by
like,
French media conglomerate Vivendi S.A.
Like,
what?
I thought
the
Bungie
French
was,
Waterworks
like,
Company.
I thought Bungie was the shit when they made Marathon. And then it's like, oh, you mean Microsoft Game Studios, internal development? Like, I guess, what?
But those guys leave, and it's like, they're literally, like,
right,
high-fiving fanboys on the way out.
Right,
you know?
It's like, woo! But it's so odd, because that nothing, no one else is like that, where it's just like,
yeah, where the creative people are effectively like, owned by the distributors.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
yeah.
It's very
and it's not in those
it's
weird
old
clusters
Hollywood.
Where it's not like Warner Music has announced the acquisition of this artist collective from Austin. Like, that just doesn't, mm-hmm. you know, that never happens.
Yeah.
It's weird.
The only, yeah. the
it's,
only
it's,
other...
It's old Hollywood studio system is what it is, where the creative people are directly employed and contracted to the studios.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. they hang around there for years and crank out thing after thing after thing, basically.
Yeah, I mean, you can kind of. I was going to compare it to, and actually, this is actually a decent comparison because it didn't. The West and Zamp. What's his last name? The other guy. Zampanella. What the guy?
Zampella and West.
Zampella and West. They left. Did they leave EA originally to go start Infinity Ward?
They didn't leave EA technically. They left 2015.
2015,
which
was doing
was published by EA.
Valor of Men of Valor,
which was doing Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor. They went to do Men of Valor. I know,
they went to do Call of Duty 1.
Right. Right. But like they're coming back or in the kind of a Lasseter-esque fashion.
Well, and they addressed that recently, and they basically said what everyone else who's signed up with EA Partners said, which is, well, this is not the same EA that was 10 years ago, which, you know, you never know how true that is, but it does seem like EA Partners is a pretty decent outfit.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
They put out a lot of stuff I like.
Yep. Yeah, me too. The like percentage Doom. of any sort of discreetly named publishing unit, EA Partners has an incredibly high rate of success for me personally in terms of my interests.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They make all the best games.
Yeah. They those make guys them. Totally develop all the best games. It's great.
Yeah. Like, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is like what I think a lot of people think though. I mean, I think I've told the story before about my friend who was like, oh man, Activision is coming out this game. That's awesome. Those guys made Tony Hawk and I love Tony Hawk. Like Tony Hawk 2, that was great. And this says Activision on the box. This game's going to be good.
I loved Madden and they're making Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Well, no, I mean, like that's, yeah, I've talked to people who made that exact same. It was literally with Madden and I don't remember what the other game was. It was like
the Orange Box.
It was like Mass Effect or something. It
okay.
was like,
yes.
So, and they were like, you know what? I knew I wasn't going to enjoy this because I bought their Madden game and that wasn't good either. And I shouldn't even have tried. And I like, this is something I've actually heard. And it's, you know, your average dude is just, why would they know? You know what I mean? Like, they don't.
Well, because in Madden, it says sports underneath and is surrounded by sort of silver swirls. When right. in Left 4 Dead, or I mean, in, you Mass know, Effect. In Mass Effect, it's sort of glowy and blue,
it's like,
it's from space.
Yeah, it's like space.
So it's different companies.
Right.
They should know that.
Mm-hmm.
One of them says sports and one of them says partners.
I don't think they.
Oh, no, it just says EA. It just says EA, and it's, oh, it's, they put some sweet graphic design.
It just says EA, but it doesn't say EA.
Like the Brutal Legend EA logo is cool.
To EA Partners' credit, though, they do put the developers on the box.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because a lot of those guys wouldn't sign.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
But yeah, if you look at their rundown, EA Partners,
it's good.
Very impressive. Impressive stuff.
They make games there.
Yeah.
They do that. Man, sorry for this to be newscast, but. A newscast, but have you guys heard anything about the weird StarCraft like gambling scandal in Korea right now?
No. A friend of mine who listens to the podcast said, tell Chris to talk about the Korean gaming scandal.
Oh, I will do that, friend.
I'm going to ask questions about it because I don't know anything.
There's a gaming scandal I hear about.
On StarCraft
1.
Okay.
Because like, that's the professional the scene that's still all StarCraft because it's the one that's actually out. And so basically what's happening is apparently this has been going on for years, but it's been more widespread. It's been more widespread than anyone suspected.
People are
there
throwing
are people
fights.
Exactly. Like big high, like, top. Yeah. Like top level pro gamers who earn lots of money or like at least have in the past. I think some of them are guys who are past their prime are getting paid like big money to, you know, to throw games that where the odds are stacked really heavily, obviously. And then
so people are betting on StarCraft in Korea?
Well, in Korea, StarCraft is a bigger sport than like basketball or baseball. Like it's huge. It's really big. If you're a professional StarCraft player who is, you know, near the top of your game, you get recognized on the street. Like I was just interviewing some guys for a story I'm working on, and one of them is this guy, Nick Plott, who goes by Tasteless. He's an American commentator who lives in South Korea, and he says he gets recognized on the street all the time. Because he does the English language commentaries for broadcasts over there, or he's one of the better known commentators, and
it's so easy to throw a fight in StarCraft if you think about it. It's not like having to like take a punch and you know like
you have to make it convincing though because this is you have to think this is an audience that
just create like one extra Zergling, right?
And well,
like,
yeah, but that's but
send
I mean,
him on some recon. I don't know.
But you have to remember you have usually at least two commentators who are. Like know your play style, who know what optimal moves are most of the time, who are like analyzing everything you do, and so you've got to be good enough to keep them from noticing. You know what I mean? That you're just fucking up on purpose. Mm-hmm. And if you do it all the time, you know, I mean, I don't really know the details of how
they're doing it all the time.
This breaks down in terms of like you know how it's organized, but it's definitely a thing that has like really caused like people are getting looked into for because regardless of
but how do you prove that? How do you prove that like? You know,
how do you prove that anyone throws a fight?
Well, I think they, yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess you're right.
I think they like uncovered evidence.
Shut up.
Of like the actual
of the transactions. Yeah. Right, right, right.
And they have found people who are like leaked names of this like growing list of really prestigious guys who have been doing it, including some like really current big name dudes who are like, you know, past world champions and stuff. Like, it's a crazy,
that's insane
scenario. Yeah. StarCraft is weird. And so a lot of people are saying this is actually right now, this is like this hilarious golden age because everyone's so afraid to do, like, there's such a spotlight being shown on this stuff that people say right now, like this week is like the cleanest period of StarCraft ever because no one's going to risk, you know, so
right. Mm-hmm.
I mainly just think it's hilarious that you can say that. You know what I mean?
Like everyone's like, top of the game this week.
There's a steroid era of StarCraft.
A video game, yeah.
There's going to be some asterisks in the record books, yeah. Except for that one clean week in 2010.
Yeah. Right. So that's super weird. This stuff is so crazy. That
the
whole
idea
StarCraft
of game,
scene, like, there's nothing.
I don't even know how to even get my head around that.
Yeah,
this
it really is like
a
sport. It just that is the comparison. You've got teams sponsored by huge, like Samsung and huge telecom companies sponsor teams. Like, you know, these guys practice 10, 12 hours a day.
I mean, I played a lot of StarCraft, so I see like where I see where somebody can become amazing at it. You know, it's one of those things where it's like you play a sport and you're like, okay, I can play a baseball game, but I see in all the finer details how people become otherworldly at it.
Right, right.
You know, so I see how that exists in StarCraft.
Yeah.
But I don't see how
there's just no frame of reference.
Interesting.
But like these guys are. I saw a commercial on YouTube of one of these guys, Jay Dong, who did a shoe commercial, like for dancing shoes of all things. Not even anything.
Not
remotely
even. Not even gaming shoes.
And he sits down on.
And like this stuff is so ingrained in that culture that they made a joke involving the word Zerg. Like he was spelling out all these adjectives about the shoes, and one of them was energy. And he first spelled it as Zerg, and then like the Z turns into an E, and then it's, you know, spells energy or whatever. But
in Korean.
No, then in English.
Korea loves those Zergs.
I mean, I think a lot of people in
the
Asia
fact
have
that
some like level of.
They can spell
English.
Zerg. That's
they
the
know
first
the Zerg.
Word kids learn how to spell.
Yeah, but I mean, like Starts that is just something that
Zerg.
That's like a tangible example of something that is just so far from ever being able to exist in Western countries. It's just,
well, that's because here, when you die in the game, you die for real.
That's true.
Yes,
so
yeah,
that will never be accepted in the West, where we have that rule.
Where that rule exists.
Yeah. It's holding back professional gaming.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Sorry. What was that? Go on. Sorry. I said no Goldblum laugh. I said I would. No Goldblum. And
you
I
failed.
Dabbled in it.
So yeah, that was that.
It's a little touch of Goldblum.
That's insane. Have you guys talked about, I know I try to listen to most of the cast, but you guys talked about Flotilla? This is like one of the most.
We talked about it a bit when it came, right when it came out, basically.
On the PC?
Yeah.
Because now it's on
Xbox Live Indie Games.
XBLIG.
It's true.
XBLIG. Yeah. Which is really, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting being like, yeah, you know what? I'm just going to put it up on Indie Games and charge $5 for it, as opposed to going through the rigmarole of getting it on the marketplace.
Well, you would not be able to
get it
publish
on the,
it.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
And if he did, it would take so long.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's cool.
You could even still try to do that, but just in the meantime, put it on
X Blig,
mm-hmm. in case you never get on X Blah, you know, you go on X Blig to preempt X Blah.
Right, that's true.
Yeah,
but downloaded it on. I played it on PC a little bit.
On the Blig. Okay.
On the Blig. Yeah. Went to the Blig, got on the DL, and played it. But I had a buddy over, and we played it split screen.
Nice.
And it is a highly recommended video gaming experience. It's so good.
That's cool.
Because you split your flotilla amongst the two of you.
Oh, so it's not versus.
No, it's so good. So it's like you start off and it's just the same story.
Yeah.
Where it's like you have 7 months to live.
Right.
Go on your last adventure. Yeah. So it's you and your friend, and then you each have a name, your gamer tag, and I think he can pick another name, or he had a silly name, so I think it was assigned. But then you have your flotilla and it's like, okay, I'll take this ship, you take that ship. And then you both do the move turn at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and then you hit go, and then you're constantly... Like, you don't switch off who controls guys at the same time. You both control guys.
Like, specific guys.
Yeah, you have your flotilla, right. And you split it in half if you want to. Right. And then you get extra guys. And it's like, oh, do you want the slow dude? I'll take the slow dude for now. Yeah, when you get the next guy, you can have him. And it is such a superior way to go through the game because you're constantly talking during that setup phase about like, okay, go a little higher. No, I'm going to go around the left side. No, no, if he comes to me, you're going to do this next turn. Oh, it's so good.
That's awesome.
It's very, very good. We went all the way to the point where you die at the 7 months, and I had never done that by myself.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because when you play by yourself, you like, it's weird. Like, I find that I'll rush more. Or I'll be like, I can kill these guys.
Right.
So, I got two dudes. I got two mans. So, this guy's just going to go as fast as he can to here. And I'll keep him in harm's way because I got two guys and I just want to get to the next level.
Yeah.
But when you're playing with your friend, like, if your guy goes, your friend still goes, can still keep playing.
Right.
So, he will just keep winning. Like, I mean, he can keep going and you just want to be back in the fight. So, you're really super protective of your dudes and your flotilla.
Yeah, you don't want to be left out.
Yeah.
Of course,
it's totally. So good to play co-op. Play this game co-op. Spend $5.
And
so
for people who have their, if people have this on the PC, if you, you know, have your PC in a configuration where that is, you can play split screen, like my PC goes into a TV, it's also split screen on the PC. So,
oh, cool.
That's a global feature for that game. But yeah, that's really awesome. That never occurred to me to try, actually.
The dynamic is amazing.
That sounds very similar to Warhammer 40K Dawn of War 2, which is a really, really good game. And that is basically how the co-op works in that. Like, unlike most RTS games, Dawn of War 2 is about a very small number of units. Like, you play the game and you control four squads. And, each squad is one collective. So you just give one order to a squad. You don't have to manage each of the guys individually. And in co-op, it's literally just you take two of them and your buddy takes two of them. And it's exactly what you described.
Oh,
you get
awesome.
Total, like, investment in it game. Because you don't want one of you to fall behind or die. Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, I would love that game.
And it's a really fun way to play. I played a whole bunch of it with a friend co-op over the internet, and it was a total blast for exactly precisely the same reasons you described. It's a real-time game, not a turn-based game, but it's got that exact same dynamic of you both want to be cautious. And in that game, it's cool because your unit, all of the four units are very, very distinct.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the scout, and you've got the commander, and you've got heavy weapons and all that. So you each have very specific roles that you perform in concert. It's rad.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of stuff is cool. It's cool when developers fool around with co-op like that.
Yeah.
As opposed to just because most co-op games these days are basically shooters where you both
strategy
run
co-op is a fun thing often as you can
but
probably
attest. It's not that common though, is it?
Well, no, but I mean we've just talked about two, and I know you and Nick play StarCraft co-op all
that's
the time.
That's true. But I even then call it's that like co-op though. That's like a team
it's
game.
It's team versus, but it's I guess it's a slightly different dynamic.
But it is still really fun for some of those same reasons, so yeah.
But like we essentially had like a three... I mean, I think it took us probably 2 hours to beat the campaign.
Ugh.
But like we essentially... I had to sit next to Eric for 2 hours. We essentially had a 2-hour conversation because of the pace of the game was really nice. Where it's like,
because
there's that setup phase where you're like...
That's what's great about co-op.
You know, it was just really, really, really... good local game experience to have somebody sitting right next to you. And it was really good. We loved it.
That's awesome.
A lot.
Nice.
I was going to invite Jake, but I didn't.
Fuck that guy.
I know.
He would just fly a ship into another ship and then complain about him blowing up.
That's exactly what I do all the time.
Yep.
Yeah.
I did fly a ship into an asteroid here, a critical flanking maneuver.
Did a comedy sort of flaming tire come rolling out?
No, it just went...
Oh.
And it's really kind of it's really kind of quiet and depressing, and it's not a big like game over. You're just like, oh my god, they're gone. Like it's almost
That game is very hilariously understated in that respect. Everything is very quiet. It's it's interesting. It's a really interesting game.
And it's got great writing.
Yeah,
the writing in the missions is stellar.
Yeah, it's
very very good. Yeah. That guy's great.
It's in space.
Know one thing I forgot to talk about after PAX was Red Dead Redemption.
Did you beat
I played
that game?
For quite a while. I beat the whole thing in the Rockstar booth.
Oh, yeah.
It was
surprising. It's amazing they let you do that.
I know.
I heard that there's a horse in that game.
There's a horse. I actually did get to play it for quite a while because I'm totally pressed and I get to be an asshole.
Were they demoing single-player campaign stuff or multiplayer?
That's what I played single-player stuff. I have not played multiplayer. The single-player is really good. I just had a certain amount of time, so I just sat down and did a mission, which was go to this place on your map and get off your horse and shoot a lot of guys and they die and it's over. And I'm like, oh, all right. Well, I mean, I guess that was cool. I mean, it's like every single other game where you shoot a bunch of guys.
Does it feel like, this is a really dumb person question to ask, but does it feel like GTA when you're playing it?
In some ways. So this is what's interesting about it. And so after I did that and they're like, you should maybe just go in a different direction and just do some stuff. And I'm like, oh, all right, well, I'll do that. And that is, of course, obviously when it gets
when not you're riding like out on the planes or whatever.
Yeah. And it's really cool. It's got pretty much all of the same fundamental elements GTA has in terms of these, except more spread out, right? It's not all condensed urban areas. You've got huge spreads of land that really are just scenery, which is cool. I mean, you need that in Western. You can't not have that.
Oh, man.
It would be terrible. And so there are more...
I'm just sitting over here just so excited for whenever this game comes out. Exactly. Oh, God, I love Westerns. Keep going.
And so
don't
you
stop
have
talking.
Smaller settlements instead of just this never-ending city. But in terms of what you're doing, I mean, the mechanics, you know, you can break laws and then police will follow you on horses and stuff. But they all of these
they call them the chopper if you use the rocket launcher.
Yeah, right. The tank rolls in.
Fucking sucks.
But they modify them in ways that make contextual sense. So if you literally kill all witnesses, the law will never come after you because there was no one there to go notify them. Like, the police aren't just instantly aware of things like they are in GTA, kind of.
Because, well, I mean, in GTA, it kind of makes sense. You know, you so like shoot a thing in a park and somebody text messages.
And, but in this game, if you, you know, if, and then if you let the one guy flee, they do, kind of fudge it a bit. Like, they will arrive faster than they could if the guy literally had to run all the way back. But it's believable.
Rustle up a posse.
You know, and they'll come after you. And again, unlike in GTA, even after you lose that tail, even after you lose the lawmen,
you're wanted. Basically.
You're still wanted.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Man, yes.
And so
oh.
you can go and pay your own bounty to get rid of that bounty on your head. And the more crimes you commit without doing that, the higher your bounty will be. And so you've got there's actually a persistent layer to the law in this game. I mean, it's not a super deep system. And the best part is, if there is that one guy running away, you can fucking lasso him as he runs from your horse and then tie him up and put him on your horse and just ride around at him. Just because I thought it was hilarious, I just did that one time and just like lassoed a guy and just put him on my goddamn horse. And then the police accidentally shot him and he died. Because they're shooting.
I like
at
you
me.
Call them the police, by the way. Yeah, like, well, I like that in the Wild West they would be the police still.
Yeah, the Popo. The Fibo. The lawmen accidentally shot him and that was pretty funny.
So then all your stars went away, right? Even though they were chasing you.
I don't think
But you did
so.
Kill that one witness.
They I mean,
no. If they already know you're there, it doesn't matter.
They're just as guilty as you now, so it should negate it.
Out of shame, they
right,
what?
Just,
they,
oh, I guess we killed.
Just like they just stare
we bungled this investigation. Yeah. They didn't properly.
Let's just
due process.
Bury this
Man,
guy
that should
a shallow
be part of the GTA game. Then, like, by the time they get to GTA 8, they will have like modeled so many weird mundanities and bureaucracies of modern life that will start to happen. You know,
Wes is like, oh, I guess that. Yeah,
you didn't obtain this evidence in a legal way. I'm sorry. He's gonna walk.
Busted. Technicality. Like,
yeah.
What?
I guess that's already what happens every time in GTA.
Yeah, you're a loophole out of every arrest.
How am I coming? What is walking out of this? That's really supposed
to be in future GTAs, what they'll do is they'll just fix that. It's so like, you're just fucked. It was like the first thing I did when I played America's Army was just like shoot my sergeant, and then I just went into a jail cell. And it was just there, and I couldn't, like, I to this day, I don't know if this was a bug or what, but I couldn't Alt F4, I couldn't go to a menu, I couldn't quit. I was, like, court-martialed and put in a fucking cell, and that was it.
They court-martialed your computer,
I had to turn my computer off to get out. It was the funniest, best fucking thing, and I don't know if it was intentional or not, but it was hilarious. I hope it was on purpose.
That's really
because
good.
Because that was really amusing
That's
to me.
Really, really funny.
Yeah. But no, Red Dead Redemption looks really cool, and it's got a full day-night cycle, and in classic Far Cry 2 style, you can just, you know...
There's a gazelle.
When when at dusk, you know, and all these particular times are just, like, the ideal moment to perceive the frontier, and it's just...
Did you see the trailer for the multiplayer stuff?
No, you were talking about
it. Oh my gosh.
Sean is just exploding over this game. It's hilarious. Yeah.
I never get excited about games. Like, I mean, well,
really?
I don't.
That's too bad.
I don't get. I have a whole thing. I just don't get excited, like, looking forward.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm
so
not
you
like,
play
oh,
them,
it's
then you
six
get excited.
Months. This is going to
oh,
come
no,
out.
I'm
but,
the
like,
same way for the most
I
part.
Don't
yeah,
have,
yeah,
I don't have that gene, and I've never. I just. I don't know.
But Red Dead Redemption, for some reason, is just. You're camping out.
Like, it was the first time I was, like, went over to the Google and said, Red Dead Redemption. Release date. Like, and then I was like, is there a pre-order bonus? Like, I'm just like, maybe I can get myself a tiny cowboy hat. Like, oh man.
Is it next month? Is that
it's May.
May, yeah.
But I mean, they say May, so I'm not gonna
it's May 2nd.
Now they're going to hurt. Shut up. No, it's not. Because if it's not May 2nd, that's 28 days. I'm going to hate you.
But yeah, the multiplayer stuff, it seems, it's kind of, it's not like MMO scope, but it seems like there are, you know, a decent collection of dudes.
Eight.
But it said that there are other player gangs who are also in that instance with you.
More than eight.
Yeah, I don't know quite how it works, but you and your friends can form a gang of up to eight dudes, which is good enough for me because that looks fucking majestic and hilariously Western to see...
Like the eight dudes on
horseback.
Eight
dudes on horseback who are all player-controlled and who you're all able to talk to, just sort of roaming around and then killing a criminal or fighting another gang.
For EXP... You can get 50 levels, and then you can unlock new horses and new guns and shit.
Oh yeah, it also implies
like
that you can.
West.
Oh yes,
one of the models of horse is a mule, which is my favorite thing.
Yeah, you start with the burro.
Is that what you start with?
I don't know.
That was the implication. Like, it was like level up your horse, and the camera pans past like a sad looking burro, and then all the way up to like the fucking Wells Fargo
majestic
horse.
Stallion. Yeah.
The opening of I don't know. Did you see the Maverick remake with Mel Gibson where he rolls into town on the donkey?
No.
Oh. I like Westerns. Sorry.
Westerns are cool. You know what? Speaking of Westerns, like, the one thing that is totally unavoidable with this game at this point, and if you're making a video game, and it's just kind of too bad, is that guns are basically totally...
It's a sweet gun, even if it's supposed to be a rickety
piece
of shit.
Well, just anything. Yeah, like, the value of actually being a good shot is totally diminished because you can constantly go into the slow motion mode where you target a guy, and it looks cool, and it's cool, and it's... But it's got kind of an art of targeting thing, too, and, like, all these systems
that... Targeting?
Did you play the first one?
No, I didn't.
Red Dead Revolver...
Was it like that, too?
Had some of that, and they had this dual mode, like, this dueling mode where you had to, like... Do a motion with a stick, and then like kind of paint a guy,
like the QuickTime quick draw. Oh, you have a painted dude.
We had to this draw this, across him with the reticule.
Oh, this,
and be like you hit him here.
This does that as well.
Okay,
yeah.
It actually was pretty good.
It's cool.
It felt okay.
It's just that, like, you know, most of the Westerns I really like are the ones where when a gun comes out, it's like, oh shit, you know, like when the
it goes into slow mo and a guy says, oh shit.
No, they, that was a big convention.
Like,
gun. They did that in the Oxbow incident.
It's just
movie.
No one watches movies in this video game podcast.
They didn't do that.
Westerns? So, like, did they do that in Gun or in Outlaws or in Red Dead Revolver? Because those are the Westerns, right?
Yeah, Call of Juarez.
Call of Juarez.
Hello, this is Juarez
2. But no, but do you know what I'm talking about, though? Like, most Westerns predated the, like, diehard kind of lineage of action movies when...
It's all about people being sort of weirdly sly around each other until one dude finally goes, and puts the gun on the table, and then it's fucking on.
And it's just, it's hard to recreate that atmosphere when at any time you can literally take out, like, 40 guys in 30 seconds, you know? And it's not that extreme, but you will take out, like, 40 guys in a row, you know, without breaking a sweat. And it's like...
I wonder how that plays into the multiplayer.
I don't know.
Because I can see it. I mean, I guess if the theme of the single player is that you are this just amazing outlaw, that makes sense. But, like, when you're rolling deep with your boys to go shoot some other dudes, you know, it's like, and we can all just do slow-mo jumps. Everybody's
hopefully,
just hanging
hopefully,
in the air
like,
for 20 seconds.
Hopefully that's per player. So one guy will initiate that. Then everyone else is in real time. If they see the guy leap off of his horse in slow motion.
Dude, someone should make that game, and that would be the most impossible thing. That
where
would be
bullet
like
time
the,
is per player? That'd be so fucking hilarious.
It would be like the time-traveling strategy game, where everything is like this weird player-relative
the best is that if you see a guy initiate bullet time, and then you also do that, for him, you're also just like going
you're
by
both
a regular
just jumping
speed.
Normally,
hey, what's up? Boom, 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 boom.
So what would the effect on the... Like, when the guy goes in slow motion in his bullet time, what happens to the person he shoots who's not in bullet time then?
If that person decided to run...
They just
run,
go boom! They just get shot. Because for them, it just looks like that guy's going slow, and they just walk into his stupid bullet. No, it would look like he's going fucking fast.
I was
going
to say, the person who's in bullet
time... Wait,
times,
how does that work?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
there's
the problem.
No way to make it work. That's what I'm talking
person
about.
Who's, if it's all on the same, you know, if it's synchronous, the person who's not in bullet time, if they just decide to run, they're going to look like the fucking Flash to the person who's in bullet time.
No, it's the other way around. Because if you're in bullet time...
Oh, no, you're right. It depends. Yeah,
so
yeah, you know,
for everyone else, it would look like you just become crazy, like, insect
fast,
speed.
Right.
But then how does that work? So you can't make that game lame.
No. What you'd have to do is make everyone else really slow. That would be the way you could do it.
So when you
turn on bullet time,
everyone else steps into molasses.
Their actual game
shit,
speed is
bullet time
is
again.
Cranked
no.
down. That would be
you
amazing.
Would just go into bullet time all the time.
No, but if
you'd be like, I'm just going to go to the water fountain and go into
bullet
really
time. If you made a really precious resource that you had to expend, like, I would like to see someone make this multiplayer game that we've just created in our heads. Like, we're, that's, it's a really, it's not something you can just use constantly.
So then it
but
is like the
do,
Cold War, so that when that guy hit it, I was like, oh, I've got bullet time, shut up. Three guys were in bullet time, and they're just going, and everyone else is just, it's just,
can you imagine, like, CTF with that?
And you get one of those,
amazing.
I mean, the recharge, I don't even know what you would want to do to make it, like,
yeah, you'd have to,
hours?
Have to make it so that it is like that is the launch nuke button
three
of that
hours
game.
A day?
Well, you could have it be like in Splinter Cell Conviction, where you, like, in Splinter Cell Conviction, the way you charge up, so to speak, your executions is by like getting these melee kills that are, you know, difficult to do ostensibly. And in a multiplayer game, you could have it based on that as well. And if you did it in a game that's round based and the rounds aren't super long, you could avoid just getting into a situation where when it resets every time, you don't have to do the thing where for an hour, one guy's just ruining it for everyone by being the only person with the bullet
time. I charged it up over the last 16 rounds.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but I think
I would like
to
see someone at least prototype
this. Or you can just earn one by
so do it, internet.
Like, you lazy webbed an entire
game. I don't
know.
Isn't this like an intriguing idea? It might be horrible to play, but I would like to see someone
actually try it. I imagine
that
it would be terrible, but someone should make it, and it should be called Oops All Bullet Time.
If it were already, I mean, if it were already a fun multiplayer game even without that, it could just be like the equivalent of Unreal Mutator or something, right? I mean, that's the kind of thing someone could code into Unreal as a mutator.
By
and
the
then,
way, Unreal Mutator is fucking good.
I know. Well, you know what I'm talking about, though,
yeah,
right?
I know. I just love the... Ugh.
I know. That scene doesn't really exist anymore as much as it used to.
The Unreal
Mutation. Now 40 angry
scene.
Modders are writing into me that it still does exist, but that always happens. But I don't know. That would be a hilarious thing to try, even just as a joke. So that's basically what Red Dead Redemption's like.
It's
weird...
It's all time.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. Okay, we gotta put a moratorium on Oops All.
Yes. You guys... But no, so that's the thing about the guns with, like... It's. I don't think it's going to make the game bad or anything. It's
but it
just,
is. It is shoot all dudes.
It is something that video games have kind of ruined themselves in that respect, where you can never go back. Like you can never, you know. I mean, it's like you've raised the stakes have been raised so much in terms of turning players into insane nonstop killing machines that it's like I don't know unless you're making a really esoteric
just,
game.
Like
I don't know how
the stupid drama rule of once you show the gun, it has to be fired. Once you give the player the ability to have a single button press a gun, they will expend all clips in 3 seconds into a chest.
Yeah.
Like, no one is going to have...
Exactly.
Once your mechanic is, this button makes a gun go... Yeah. Everyone's going to just go... because nothing's going to happen
no
to you.
There's no consequences at all. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So...
That's why video games are awesome.
Shoot everyone all the time and then take a horse off a jump.
You guys answered a question about this, right? Like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
About, like...
Yeah. About violence.
Why there's so many guns?
Yeah.
Because guns are sweet.
Guns are the best.
Because you draw a line to a face and then it explodes. With guts,
essentially. Rad. Steve's answer.
Guts come out of faces.
Yeah, pretty much. Sweet face gut.
that's an outlaw's name. Sweet face gut. Sweet is in quotes, and face gut, I guess.
Sweet face gut sounds like one of those. He's one of those dudes who's throwing those StarCraft matches.
Sweet face gut.
No, yeah. I think this guy's a Western.
Sweet is definitely a boxer's sort of like. Sweetness.
Yeah, but it's also like, you know, sweetback or something. It's also like
from a 70s blaxploitation movie.
Yeah, which is a lot closer to a Western than a StarCraft player.
That's debatable.
I don't think it's debatable. At all.
I've got this new idea.
That's called Take a Break?
It's called, let's do that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
All right.
Taking a Break with Famous.
That's terrible.
You're fired.
Video game!
What the fuck?
Yep.
Sitting there shoveling crow into my mouth.
And hats.
A crow wearing a hat. Like a puffin wearing a wizard hat.
I like that you can eat crow and hats. Or your hat.
I guess you eat your hat. Yeah,
you'll eat your hat. So you'll be shoveling your hat and crow. Just a big plate full of fucking...
Just fill up a hat with
a buffet of hat and crow.
It's like it's the bread bowl of things that you eat when you're eating your hat.
Or a crow. Eating your crow.
There's a roller coaster one floor up that just goes by sometimes.
Yeah. It goes by sometimes.
Jesus. Oh, I know what that is. That's somebody's fucking Dolby surround sound bullshit system ruining your fucking life.
Video game.
Can I say we're back?
Yeah.
Oh, we're back.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
We're back in black.
Thanks, anyway, we're back.
Oh, okay.
No. What?
We're back.
You said it. What? We're back.
So, Chris.
So, Sean, Famous.
I want to know everything you know about Neptune's Pride. This seems like something I might like.
I don't give a shit about it. I actually think it's cool. I just know I'll never, ever play it.
Yeah, you will know you never will.
But it's a cool thing to hear
about.
Is
it asynchronous?
No, it's not. It's real time.
But you can... But it's so slow that you can walk away from it and go live your life.
Yes, theoretically.
But you don't.
You have to.
But you've been here for 3 days.
So the like.
Oh,
you know,
it's like
the way. So it's a. I mean, I talked about it a bit last week, but now I've spent a week playing it, and it's changed a lot since when I talked about it last week. So you know, again, it's a browser-based, very slow time scale, real time space strategy game. It's like a 4X game, but it's multiplayer. And real time, and on the end in a browser.
I can see your ships or your stars or your fleets or your mans right over my right shoulder.
It is
stressful.
It is a crazy. This is one of the most intense, intricate, fucking crazy games I've ever played, and not because of the mechanics. The very simple. It's still. I mean, last week I said, "Oh, maybe there's more mechanics I'm going to come across." Pretty much, you move ships around. You build factories to build more ships. You build factories or you build economic infrastructure. Mm-hmm. All very simple. It's all just you press a button to do that. You send ships around. You attack ships. And that's like the entire game. Mm. The whole real game is all of the nutso wheeling and dealing that goes on between the various players, like personally for real. And
so you and Brecken are like striking up an accord to...
I can't say, I don't want to say anything about what I'm actually doing.
Because this is some backroom shit that's going on.
I'm not even going to.
Maybe there isn't. Maybe
no,
you are.
Seriously?
In league with everybody in that game. You're like that guy on Survivor who's made all the alliances.
No one watches fucking Survivor.
I watch Survivor.
I've never seen Survivor.
Survivor's actually a good game from a mechanic standpoint.
It's a game.
It's a game?
Survivor is definitely a game.
Oh, you're talking about the licensed board game?
Survivor, no, I'm talking about the television game? Show on CBS.
What is the game of Survivor?
The game of Survivor is this perfect blend of political, getting people to like you, plus being physically dominant, but not being too dominant that people vote you off.
Okay, so that is what Neptune's Prize.
Oh, so ha!
Except the
nobody league. Likes Survivor. And apparently, Chris and his buddies love it.
People like it when it's in space in a browser.
There's no voting.
I watch Survivor on Hulu.
Like,
in a browser
on space.
Shut up.
Spaceships.
I get a spaceship.
Science.
By Richard Garriott my ass to space to watch Survivor. It'll be just like Chris playing Neptune's Bounty. So go fuck yourself,
Neptune's
Jake.
Bounty.
Neptune's Pride.
I played that chapter in BioShock 1, which I really liked. I don't know. I like the fishing village in BioShock 1. Like I'm Steve all of a sudden. I'm talking about BioShock.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's here.
That's your job today.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is a fucking knockdown, drag out, brutal fucking game. It is
in
unreal.
The slowest motion.
In slow motion, yeah. And it's
so it's
crazy.
Like it's up all the time.
I can't say anything about it either because I have realized like
you've already said too much.
The people in my game, well, they follow me on Twitter, or like some of them do, or I think most of them do at this point. This is the dorkiest thing ever. I have created a new Twitter account explicitly to follow all the people in my Neptune's Pride game so that I have this concentrated location where I can keep tabs on anything they say that might impact the game because I made some just general like vague point about the like
I'm going to kill Mr. Wasteland.
No, he's not. He does not border me, but he's in my game.
Really? Because you're making that blog.
He's on the other side. No, his blog, Magical Wasteland.
Oh, I just thought you
really
guys were gonna
we saw the thing on the screen where that's why he was mentioning that guy in particular.
Fuck you. These guys are pulling this out of their ass. Anyway,
no, we're not.
He is in the game I'm playing.
Wasteland is coming for you. Watch out, dude.
But
call me.
But like I did make a mention of like someone invading me and I was going to defend against it, and then the first at reply was like, oh, so that's what you're doing, and I'm like, oh no, oh, I just tipped my hand, this is horrible. And so
I want to know what your fake Twitter screen name is so badly, but the whatever you created.
Well, you can
them.
Go there if you want. I mean, it's Remo Neptune, I think.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you had an alias, so it was going to be really
intricate. Well, I'm not
going to
put secret shit on there. I mean,
I know, no. Just like you create
worst
like a...
Worst mistake! Like you're also posting your strategies to that feed.
Oh, no! And then I'm gonna... I only have 7 followers. Oh, no.
No, I'm following the exact people that are in my
right,
name.
Yeah, no, yeah. I just think it'd be...
they won't
receive. See, I would go through the... For no particular reason, I would burn the calories to create... a fake fan or a dude that followed, you know what I mean? And then I, not because I was going to post,
yeah, right.
but just because I don't want, yeah.
But they would know. Who cares?
But they could quickly block, like, at Remo's Bounty or whatever.
Yeah, but then you just log out.
Pride.
Yeah. I could call everything on Twitter.
Remo's Bounty.
Everything on Twitter is public.
You're doing this just in case someone makes a mistake. And but it's now also, you're overcompensating.
It's not even so much that. That wasn't even my thinking behind it, because I don't expect anyone to reveal all the strategies on Twitter. It's more just because this game is so involved that I just want to pay attention, like, to these people, who some of whom I kind of already knew and some of who I didn't.
So this game has made those people more important to you.
Yeah. But it's also made us more likely to hate each other, because we're all fucking, like, I don't know. There's some brutal conflicts in this game where, you know, especially if it's someone you've never actually met before.
Right.
And it's like, oh my God.
That's actually got to be really good for the dynamic.
If we ever meet, we are on the wrong foot so hard right now already, because some serious shit has gone down and we both hate each other.
That's good for the dynamic of the game, though.
Oh, like, yeah. No, it's true. The dynamic in the game is incredible.
In Steve, and then I'm trying to think of other people we'd know who all got into this game together, we would instantly like, all have to be like, guys, if we don't kill Steve, everything's going to suck. You know, because we can segue that into an Imperial 2030 conversation.
Yeah.
But not right now. It would be too good of a seg. We must make a more awkward seg in a moment's time, because I'm not done asking about Neptune's
this
Bounty.
Is the Idle Thumbs podcast.
So have you guys played Super Mario World?
What? I don't know. Is that browser space?
I saw an ad on Facebook saying I could play Duck Hunt for free on the internet, but okay, I don't know if that...
No gun. That's the best part of Duck Hunt. It was the way that trigger clicked.
Like a little...
Two podcasts, I mean, two Duck Hunt references, by the way. There was one in the conf grenade. Pleased.
So anyway,
but no. So do you pay for this?
The way it works is
you're
gonna join. There are games
worst. Sorry,
there are games that are just that are classified as free games that have default settings, mm-hmm. and you can join those for free. And then you can also buy credits to create a paid game where you can have up to 16 people and change like any variable in the entire game. Pretty much, it's really cool in that respect. And other people can pay to join that, or the person who created it can pay extra to make it freely joinable to anybody. So
kind of like fantasy football.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. And so the game I'm joining was free for me to join because the person who set it up wanted to like encourage new people to, you know,
and he regrets
so
that
he
now
paid
that he hates
for
them
it.
All.
So he
well he's no, he's doing really well.
The person who set it up paid for it.
Yes.
What's the price point?
It's not very much. You have to buy initially...
It's $175.
You have to buy a $20 block of credits, mm-hmm. but then after that, you have enough to make a whole bunch of
so
games.
So it's like WiiWare.
Oh, cool. Oh. I'm in. I want to play.
Yeah. And, you know, you don't...
At reply.
Usually when you're... When, like, at least for me...
From your fake account.
Like, I'm playing in two games right now, and I haven't paid
from
anything
Remo's
yet. So,
Bounty.
I mean, I don't even need to pay anything until I'm the evangelist, and then I get my friends into it, right? So that's the business model, is get people into it and hope that they will be willing to pay to get their friends into
you
it.
You should say something about it on a podcast. That would really probably be good.
But, oh, you mean to, like, let people know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be a good
idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so
maybe
that.
If I'm on a podcast sometime, I'll
say The Neptune's Bounty guys would appreciate that.
Pride.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm going to go home and Google it because I want to play. I'm not going to be able to find it.
Oh, the other crazy thing about this game is that you fight battles in the future. Like, it is so crazy.
Take that, Survivor.
because it takes so long to... For oh, it took my brain a second to process.
Anyway. Oh, my goodness. Somewhere Jeff Probst is like, God damn it.
And everywhere, and everyone
Probst
else who listens to Iron Man says Survivor.
Yeah, who the fuck is that?
Who's Jeff Probst?
When I hear Probst,
Survivor,
I think
really
of like former Electronic Arts CEO. Anyway, Larry
really
Probst.
Good worst.
I like it a lot.
But
shut up.
So the way battles work is it takes so long for your ships to get from one place to another. You know, it takes hours for them. So you let them go. And then they just you do other stuff, and then they eventually get there. And
in the
whenever
future.
You whenever in the future, and when you sign in, it gives you a report of everything. You know, it gives you all the important things that have happened since you last signed in. You have a log of it, which is useful.
I want to. This is the log that ends with da 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 da. You were attacked. All hope is lost. You have lost the game. Right. I'm like, what? Is that the worst email ever?
Also, like these two guys have declared a trade again, yeah. And it's like,
your citizens screamed out, "Where is our leader?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, like, let's say you've got a planet, someone sends fleets to your planet. Once their fleets get within your sensor ranges, all of a sudden they pop up on your map and you see that they're more than halfway there already and you couldn't see them before. And you can tell that by the time they get there that you will be overpowered. Like when they arrive, so you're like, oh shit, I need to send more of my guys from a close by planet to get there first so that by the time they get there, I will have enough defense there. He sees you doing that. If his sensors are long range enough, he sends more guys out. And you in your head, you're thinking, all right, first this attack's going to happen. My guys get there first. But then by the time that attack is resolved, he's already has another fleet. By that point, will be like halfway there. And so I have to send ships from somewhere else farther away to get there. And you get into this weird thing where you are literally in your head, like predicting the results of battles like that won't happen for like another day.
That's awesome.
Like a war. And it's really cool.
Which is like chess.
Shut up.
Yeah, no, it is.
Like Survivor.
It's
what if like it's crazy. Mean, do you think who knows what these guys want to do with this game, but like this sounds like something where if this got integrated into an app or something that you carried in your pocket, you would lose your mind.
Nick Brecken has already said that a few times. Like if I had the iPhone and iPad version of this, it would just
and it
be,
was like
it
are you just
guys
with push notification? It was Chris, our sensors have picked up a galactic destroyer.
Fuck.
No, it the, really rat, is. Yeah, Ratso Fatso Rat is somewhere in our vicinity. Like, oh my god!
Have you guys seen Failsafe, the movie that was based on the same material or a lot of the same material Dr. Strangelove was, but serious instead of satirical? It's a similar situation.
It seems like something I saw in film school.
It's a really good movie, and you should see it. And it's directed by Sidney Lumet, who's awesome.
He is very
And it has Walter Matthau, who is a
badass. This is how... And you were talking about Walter Matthau with Stephen Gaynor.
Yes.
I was sitting there
listening
to you guys talk about Walter Matthau.
And he's awesome.
That's how I...
But yeah.
Yeah, Steve is awesome.
He's the best. God, I can't believe he's not here. Let's just take a moment. Anyway, go ahead.
But there are crazy, like
you
weird,
hand farted when like let's take a moment.
There are weird, like long term future mutually assured destruction scenarios where it's like, oh shit! Because once you send a ship out, you can't recall it, like you can't change its path, and so you know,
you can't hit them up on the two way and say, hey guys,
well, no, because they're in deep space.
The idea is they're going through like a hyperspace
wormhole
travel
or whatever. Yeah.
And so you get situations where
really far. Those places on that map are super far.
They're light
apart.
Years away. Yeah, and
it's not like here to. You know,
no, those are each one's a star, not
so, like,
even a planet.
That one of Nick's that's right by yours that you're heading towards.
God,
that's really. What about that fuchsia guy, though? I mean, you said you had plans for him.
I did not say that. He's not even next to me. You guys are
ruining
my life.
You're going to. I mean, you said you took literally 10 hours to plot that course.
That's true. I did,
around
I did
all
that.
The other people's
that's
sensors.
True. I will destroy him. But no, you get situations where you like send.
You know
a
he's.
Peace treaty.
You know he's not lying because he's dismissive.
You like negotiate peace with somebody, and
but you wouldn't do.
You
that.
Realize like after you've negotiated peace, you see like. Their ships then come out of
out of
sensor range, and you're like, "What?"
Oh,
and they're like, "Oh, sorry, I can't do anything about it. I set them out before we."
The idea that there's a truce in a field, you know, it's like, "Look, let's not do this. Like, my people and your people, let's be cool, great." And then it's a bunch of bushes stand up, and you're like, oh, "Okay."
But it's like all this shit is done so far in advance that it's like there's this weird inevitability to things,
yeah,
but you still everything's still the result of your direct decision. Like, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. Out of your control. It's just you're always thinking of all these things in the future. It's fascinating and weird and cool.
And was it hard to start that peace treaty with the blue team secretly?
This is probably getting really old.
Yeah. Oh, the thing that I keep saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We should move on. But it's a cool game. I would recommend people try it. It's not for everybody, for sure. But bear in mind though,
credits.
That like when you start playing, it will seem like the most agonizingly slow-paced thing ever, which it is. But then, you know, you upgrade the speed of your ships over time. You upgrade how far you can see. You start getting more stars. Everything gets complicated.
And when you're playing with like 16 dudes or however many it is.
Yeah, but it is. It still is like the slowest burn ever. Like at the beginning, you're like, there's nothing to do except drive your ships to empty stars. Just as everyone, the initial land grab when everyone picks up a bunch of stuff and it's like nothing happens. But almost, like really quickly though, people do start immediately negotiating peace treaties and like, look, I can see we're already close to each other. Let's do this. And within a few days, stuff starts picking up. But bear in mind that at the beginning, it's quite slow.
Oh, one more question.
Yeah.
How long does the game take?
I don't know. I haven't finished one yet.
How long have you been playing?
A week.
Oh, wow.
But you can set them. I mean, we're playing on one that was deliberately set, like a really
just
large
epic.
Scale.
Because you guys are all
game.
Busy and such.
And,
I mean, that makes sense.
It's
why
bad.
You can change it out.
You can set ones where fleets travel faster and stars are closer together. And I mean, almost every single variable.
But you're playing on ultimate hardcore mode right now.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because the guy who made it was like, yeah, you know, usually people like to start with the smaller, faster ones because they help you learn stuff better. But I figured we'd just do this. And it's like, what? You've played games of this before. Like, what? We're all fucked. But no, it's the mechanics are so simple that it's really more about figuring out the fine points of how things work and the diplomacy stuff more than like figuring out an incredibly complicated like UI and stuff. It's
right.
Just, yeah. It's a weird game.
I mean, there are, it seems like just sitting here, there are a lot of parallels to that in the board game we have been playing obsessively.
Imperial 2030.
There are like a ridiculous amount of...
it's good Steve's not here this week.
Yeah.
So Imperial 2030 is not nearly as like soul-crushing in terms of friendships potentially ruined. Because it's all over in like 3 hours.
Like I said, it's good Steve's not here this week.
Okay, so we should not talk about this week is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying that he's my enemy.
That's true. God. Yeah, that guy, playing, well, you know what? I don't know. I feel like he's slowly shed the mantle of griefer. Because like the first two or three times we played, it was like...
He didn't grief. He just had weird strategies that just ruined everyone.
Yeah. What was he just... Well, I'm trying to think what his first strategy
was. Well, because Steve, we should introduce what the game is.
So it's a game...
Imperial 2030 is a board game.
And it's essentially about the military-industrial complex. I mean, it's you play as an independent investor...
In the year 2030.
In the year 2030. And you invest in major world superpowers, or major world powers at least.
And the board looks like... People who see it look like, oh, you're playing... Are you guys playing Risk?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, we're not playing Risk. We're playing...
<Sorry. laughs> Excuse me. Like,
no. No.
Hardly Risk.
Yeah, but you invest in countries as opposed to militarize them. Although
militarize them, but you aren't permanently identified
with
anyone.
You do that as a shareholder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you just, the person who controls, you know, the United States or Europe or Russia, like Europe is consolidated into one global power as opposed to individual countries in it. And so all of these different powers are just controlled by whoever happens to have the most investment in them at any given time. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole dynamic of the game, is the fact that you're not really, you know, like Brazil is not going to win the game. An investor might exploit Brazil to...
Right, to take them sort of over the top.
Exactly.
Brazil doesn't win.
Make his investment more powerful.
Even if,
that,
and even if an investor, like super power invests in Brazil and invests and tax the shit out of them, the guy who has the like the sort of penultimate stake in Brazil, the guy who has like
the second highest
like
investment,
three shares less than him, but also is controlling the second most powerful country or whatever, has a good chance of cashing out way higher than you at the end of the game.
It's a game you can win by not controlling the most dominant countries, but by having significant investment in those countries and letting your friends make the decisions for those countries, which is kind
of
cool.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of warfare. I mean, you're still the basic sort of unit of territorial control is still the military.
You drop a tank and flip the flag over and stuff still.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's mainly used to make countries more wealthy by colonizing other neutral countries or ostensibly neutral countries.
Tax them and then put money in your monies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a really interesting game because things occur that are often reflective of real world conflicts in really interesting ways. I mean, that's what strategy games...
It's absurd how much, though, the mechanics of that game often, like... We will go on long kind of jags while playing that game about like, oh my god, this is exactly like why people who live here are screwed in the real world. Like,
like,
you know what
I mean? Can you think of any examples?
Well, I mean, when we'll go on those giant Middle Eastern power shares when everybody's struggling to
take
stuff.
And that's why the Middle East is constantly
like,
in a turmoil.
Like,
because
this
it's
is hilarious.
This, this crossroads
that's,
of all these...
That's stupid crossroads bottleneck.
Interesting. Yeah, no, the game does model that really well.
It's really fascinating. Yeah.
And the United States is the weird isolationist superpower that it traditionally was in many cases, at least in terms of like large scale warfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you're the United States, you can basically like never get involved in a big land war.
It's really, you know, it's really just, hard to like get
someone
to
has to deliberately
down.
Send a billion ships to you, but then still
somebody has to pull a gainer essentially.
Yeah, they need like a Pearl Harbor basically to like, you know,
you up.
Yeah,
it is definitely like you can just find yourself like, as India, like when we played last time, like. You'll find yourself, I was controlling India and doing a giant power grab, and you'll find yourself just embroiled with, I kind of got to take out some Europeans. I got to, okay, Russians are in my shit, going to ruin you. So I can do a land grab, tax it, get a ton of money, and then just see what happens after that. But with America, if you want to do that, you have to like get, you have to make a conscious choice as opposed to just like, oh, I want to make my country valuable, so I'm going to expand.
Because
like,
oh, okay, there's going to be an ocean and like all this.
You have to really.
It's cool.
Pick a guy.
It's a really interesting game.
If you are the sort of person who likes a board game that's interesting, this one is one you should play.
It's true.
It's very thought-provoking while playing it.
And it's also, also really fun. Yeah,
it's also very fun. Yeah,
but it's, like, it's not a dry game at all.
Yeah, but the amount of turnover like inside of the game is high. Mm-hmm. Like the just weird power shifts and people have been covertly taking over a huge amount of territory that you don't really notice because the board's already full, and then they get to taxation and just like launch their country up to becoming a world superpower when you weren't paying attention at all, which is my strategy until I forget to actually
until you
invest
forget
in
to
them.
Actually do that, and then someone buys the country out from under you and then does that.
Yeah.
And then you're
terrible.
Sad. Yeah.
Jake and I both went to the school of make countries super valuable, but not
then lose
reap
your
the rewards.
We unfortunately are not playing the you are an amazing benevolent ruler simulator. We're playing the military industrial complex simulator.
But so you can play it like a benevolent ruler. Like that's how
then
you and
just
I play
get
it for
dicked
a while.
Over by Gainer, who is
but it's
like,
still fun.
He's been amassing capital and then just destroys you.
Yeah, you sit there and invest in a country.
Has Steve
for...
actually won yet, or does he? Because
no,
like Steve is
no,
always the
like,
kingmaker. At
yeah,
the
Steve just like... dicks over the people who seem like they might be about to win, and then just. Decides which one share he'll buy or not buy to decide who goes out over the top. Garbage.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Steve is interesting because the way he plays that game, or at least in the first few times we played it, he always had this very specific like goal of something, and then it didn't always work out, but it always something interesting always happened as a result.
But it's a very it is a very specific goal. Like whatever mood Steve woke up in that morning
exactly.
is what's going to happen in the game. It's like, oh, I'm just not going to pay attention for an hour. I'm going to militarize everything and just start ruining lives. Like, no. Like, why are you attacking? We both own this country.
Yeah.
Let's not do this.
That's an interesting thing about it. Yeah. Like, even if you don't control a country at any given time, you might have a really high stake in it. And so you want the person who does control it to do things that are beneficial to you. And so you get in these weird little enclaves where, like, dudes are basically huddling together to decide the fate of these nations.
Yeah.
It's pretty rad. Good.
And then someone just says, no, I'm not actually going to give you safe passage. And the Atlantic is just like, but, okay.
Yeah. Shut down the Panama Canal. Brazil shuts down the Panama Canal.
Yeah. So that's a board game that we play sometimes.
Yep.
It's a lot of strategy talk.
Yeah, I know. Oof. Jeez. Yeah, this whole goddamn podcast. We had StarCraft in here. We had Flotilla. We had...
Dawn of War 2.
Mm-hmm. We had Neptune's Pride.
All strategy
games. We had Oops All Bullet Time.
Oh, yeah. That was... Yeah.
I can
imagine if that was a strategy game.
Do you play the Impossible game on X-Blig?
No. What is that?
It's not a strategy game. It's a really simple platformer that goes on, I guess, forever. It's kind of like Cannibalt, but you can plant flags.
Man,
what do the flags do?
You can when you explode when your man's hit a barrier, you can go right back to where that spot is, and you can,
so it's those checkpoints that you create.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but like,
is that easily abused? I mean, can you just keep?
Well, I've only played the demo, but I get 10 flags. I think you ultimately get unlimited flags, but the game is so hard that that's okay. Like you find yourself in these situations where they'll have. Hurdle, hurdle, duck, hurdle, duck, duck, hurdle, hurdle. And it's almost like a rhythm game where you have to remember what's coming because it moves really fast.
Mm.
So you're just like, duck, duck, hurdle, hurdle, duck,
that's
duck.
That's kind of Cannibalt-like.
And then the moment you do it, you're like, plant a flag. It's really good.
Well, but Cannibalt
is it's very cool.
It's all random.
Generated.
I know, but you still get into that feeling of that being in the zone and you know, reacting to things.
What you described is also very similar to the rhythm you end up getting into kind of in levels in Trials or like when you were playing Joe Danger, there are levels
Joe Danger,
which is
totally.
Like down, up, down, down, up, down, left, right, left, right, BA start.
Yep.
select. That's two player.
God, you know what game was really hard that I played that probably is not hard for other people to listen to this and think I'm a baby?
Battletoads.
Dark Void Zero. The
the 3D
faux 8-bit
Dark Void Zero. Never mind.
Yeah, this is like the you know, Capcom
it's
created
fake,
this fictional
fake predecessor. Mm-hmm.
Lost 8-bit game Dark Void is a reimagining of.
Oh, I really like
kind
this
of an like
idea.
Bionic Commando. Yeah, it's a really cool idea. Like Bionic Commando was that for real.
Mm-hmm.
Not that game was lost, but they've retrofitted the history of Dark Void with this NES era game, and it was actually surprisingly true to that era in a number of ways. The closest comparison I can think of is like Metroid 1. Where it's that exploration-driven thing where you get new guns and you get power-ups and stuff, and it's fucking hard. It's not as hard as Metroid, for sure, but it's still more difficult than modern games usually are.
So would you recommend that fans of the Dark Void universe play the first game before playing the new entry in the series?
It's kind of it does remind me of
read the comic first. You want to read this the comic first.
Oh, like Mega Man 9.
Yeah.
That's like the closest comparison, well, obviously.
Oh, that game is
weird.
So
Capcom
hard,
putting out faux vintage games.
Yeah, I know. I guess Capcom figured out what has worked. But it's cool. I like, even it's not entirely my thing just because. Because
you hate old games?
No. I love old games.
And
I'm
you
just
only
not
like
as
the PC?
I'm not as good at this game. It's on the PC. I played it on the PC.
It's a fucking port, though.
It's, yeah, a port from the DSi, which I don't own, or I would have bought it there.
Oh, it's on the DSi? Is it downloadable?
But you know what was funny about playing it on the PC?
Yes. Otherwise, it would just be on the DS.
Oh.
It actually feel like it was so authentic on the PC because it seriously felt like I was playing it on an NES emulator. You know, like it
that's
felt
funny.
Exactly like that when you blow up an NES game on an emulator to fill your whole right. screen, and then you've got like.
Does it support like Super Eagle smoothing?
Oh man, I don't know. I don't think so. But you know, like the controls are like the arrow keys and then A and Z or whatever.
Yeah, right? Like I played Punch Out for an entire Christmas break like that once.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I had this weird experience. I was playing it with my keyboard like hooked up to my TV, and I was going through the game, and every time I'd get hit, it like my entire apartment would like shake, and I'm like, what the did they put like crazy bass weird reverb, like
am
is
I
my
on
subwoofer
drugs?
Just going crazy, like why would they into this game with chiptunes and stuff in it, why would they? And this went on for several minutes, and I was about ready to fucking pull my hair out because I was like checking options and looking everywhere, and I
like
couldn't
the end of
what
the conversation
was. And you know what? Yeah, exactly. And like the film, I assume you mean.
Yeah.
And, well, not everyone's gonna know that's what you meant.
Yes, Francis Ford Coppola is the conversation.
With Gene Hackman is what he's referring to.
It's a badass movie.
Very
and
nice.
I finally realized what it was is that the game simultaneously accepts input from both keyboard and like a gamepad.
Oh, so
that's
your
plugged
360
into
controller was going.
It was vibrating on the top of my computer case, like on top of my actual computer, like my metal case, and vibrating and creating this crazy sound that was like vibrating the floor and stuff. And I finally figured that out, and it was like.
So then you just started playing with the gamepad, right?
They just expected you to play it like Rez. You're supposed to just tuck that between your little cheeks and keep jumping.
What?
Ruiner of everything.
It reminded me how shitty the 360's D-pad is because for whatever reason, by default, it only accepts directional control from the D-pad, not the analog stick, and the Xbox 360 D-pad is the shittiest shit ever.
Don't call it a D-pad. That's probably a license.
That's probably a licensing problem. Yeah.
I don't...
TM. It's a directional input.
The pad is terrible. I had to remap it.
That's an apostrophe pad.
The iPad is cool, though. They got some neat games on that.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. It was
Jake
weird.
Is still tapping his
it didn't
foot
accept
for his iPad
input
to come,
from
in,
my
to come in the mail. From
iPad
Steve Jobs.
I don't own for some reason.
Really? You didn't just Bluetooth connect
it? Linked into Nick Brecken's iPad, though.
Oh, yeah, that was bizarre.
You excited for your iPad, Jake?
Yes.
Still very excited for it.
I don't have it yet, though, so let's not talk about iPads.
All right. Oh, you're going to get all weepy about it?
I want that.
I did play Plants vs. Zombies on Chuck Jordan's iPad.
It's good on
this
the iPad.
Morning, standing in front
good
of his
on
cube.
The iPad.
If you like Plants vs. Zombies and don't like having a life anymore.
Yeah. It's cool because of the multiple input, so you just end up becoming like a your
right, where
claw
you're just like,
beast.
Harvest all suns. Yeah.
Yeah, where you just
become a claw beast.
I don't know, you just wish you had tentacles. You wish you were like turned into a Cthulhu monster.
You wish
so
you could place even more flowers in a field simultaneously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very fun on the iPad.
Yeah, that seems like more of an iPad game than an iPhone game, at least to me.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean... I have a really interesting...
iPhone,
yeah.
It sucks to go back to a pointer on that one particular game. Mm. I usually don't think that's the case.
Well, I think there are... I mean, I had a really interesting experience with the iPad at work. I mean, we...
Did it touch you?
I don't want to talk about it. Touch me where my iPad goes.
Show you. Touch on the iPad where the iPad touched you.
But I was playing our game on it. I was really...
Your game?
Well, Telltale's game, Sam and Max, that came out on the iPad.
Telltale's Vanaman?
Without plugging it. But you do have a really visceral connection to the media.
A visceral game?
It's a visceral game. Actually, we partnered with Visceral Games on this game.
All iPad games partner with Visceral Games.
Yeah,
spirit.
They're the exclusive licensor of games. Wow, Jake. Anyway, you have a really...
That. You just said
you have a very... I know, you made
nice
me say
one, Jake.
It.
Nice joke, Jake.
Jake Ruiner. Jeff Goldblum. Nobody's gonna know what that is, but you have a very interesting and like I think a very awesome connection to whatever
you're
interacting
with. It's a magical device.
But the thing is like you understand why they use that word in their bullshit marketing.
What, magical?
Yeah.
Is that the word they use?
Yes. It's interesting. Like, I haven't figured out what the word is to describe it.
I know why they use the word magical, because it's interesting.
Shut up. Let's not talk about the iPad anymore. Fucking A. You say one good thing about the iPad in this group, and all of a sudden it's...
What, Jake? Are you kidding? Jake's fucking Mr. iPad.
I know, but he's totally been, like, trying to duck every... The iPad. You say the word iPad, and he ducks like a baseball's getting thrown in his head. He doesn't want to have to say that. He's so excited.
I throw a baseball at his head every time someone mentions the iPad, so now he just has a Pavlovian response to it. Sorry about that, Jake.
But yeah, no. Playing games on that device is actually really interesting. It's fun. It's
you mean magical?
Those are synonyms. So
yes,
everything interesting is magical by nature.
Are you saying magic is not interesting?
Everything interesting
is magical. Artisanal and Tuscan.
Visceral games.
Oh my god, that reminds me of the fucking Insane Clown Posse video. Have you guys seen this?
I told you on Saturday that I refuse to watch this.
I don't want to talk about it because it's so off topic, but just really quickly search for...
I don't want to talk about it. Here's the URL.
Here's my impressions of this Insane Clown Posse video.
I'm just going to say, search for the Insane Clown Posse video miracles or something like that. You will not regret watching this fucked up, hilarious, weird, retarded thing.
But you might... Interesting.
It's extremely interesting.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah?
The people who listen to this, do they send you emails?
Oh, sometimes they do. We call that reader mail.
Reader mail. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I'm new, so I don't know exactly what you've branded all of your segments, because I know this is a very segment-driven podcast.
It's true. We are at the schedule, the point in our schedule where we...
Your producer is giving me
We've just finished what you've been playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now it's time for... the mailbag.
It's true. It's the mailbag. Mm-hmm.
The horse mail.
Did I tell you about my mom IMing me what a horse bag was?
No.
Yeah.
That's because we made fun of the fact that your mom would be listening to it.
Yeah.
So your mom actually did listen to
it? My mom actually did listen to the podcast because right, my mom follows me on Twitter.
We're talking
Twitter.
About how Mrs. Vanman was listening to it. Then the first thing we said was horse bag.
Yeah, I go, Mom, if you're listening, bag. Which is possible. And then Steve was like, hey, Mrs. Vanman, horse bag. And my mom just text messaged me, Sean, ellipsis, horse bag. I'm like, Mom, they're just being guys on a podcast. I'm so sorry. I love you.
It's a patented horse controller that inflates.
I don't think my mom knows what a podcast is. Like, literally.
Oh, my mom is savvy. Oh, yeah. This is going to be on her iPod Touch. Faux show.
Yeah. Your mom exists in a different world than my mom.
Nah, it's weird. But she's not. She's just really into neat stuff, I guess.
Great stuff.
So approximately 90% of reader mail this week was directed purely at Steve Gaynor because his company is making an XCOM game now.
So we're going to talk
about it. Yeah. What do you got? What's the first one? Let's go.
Okay.
It's going to be good.
Hey, Thumbs.
Hey.
Matthew Grosvenor writes, Scoops.com. The news, Babu and Salutations, the news rumor of a 2K Marine is what he wrote.
The underwater 2K. They got so into Bioshock, they sunk the studio into the bay.
So he basically says, awesome. People know about the XCOM game, etc. Fans of the original, some of them are mad. People who have no idea what XCOM is, are unsure, possibly happy. Given the Thumbs penchant for PC gaming from years past, discussions on design, not to mention Steve's place of employment, I was hoping to hear your insight on the matter. Now my question. If you've made a game as successful as Bioshock 2, have a brand name recognizable among the average-aged gamer, are you not going to attempt something outside of the FPS genre? I'm not saying you have to redo the original game with new graphics or anything, or that 2K Marin can't do as they please, but the previous XCOM shooters have been shit, and the original game's mechanics don't really lend themselves to FPS-style play. Etc. Actually, you know what?
Go ahead, Matthew.
P.S. before he signs his name.
Oh, really? But a P.S. So it's actually a pre-script.
Yes, it is. So P.S. accurate.
So wait. Still. So I think our official comment on this is we probably have nothing to say about this and shouldn't.
Nope.
And even if Steve was here, we probably couldn't answer a lot of these questions.
Okay.
As somebody works as a developer, I bet 2K is going to do the things they do really well, and then they're going to do interesting new things to support the license.
Oh, you mean magical things?
Magical things.
That's good.
You guys say interesting all the time, by the way, as a listener.
Well, now we're going to say magical.
Thank God I've killed interesting for this podcast. If I have done one thing this day, it's killed one word.
Now, what you've done is you've made us incredibly self-conscious. So we'll still say it, but every time we do, we'll pause and try
magical.
To not say magical or say it and ruin it even further. So you've made the podcast even worse, and now I see you're taking pleasure.
You got some sort of raptor claw in your hand? Some guy near you seatbelt a helicopter.
Tied it.
There's
and,
like 18 more questions about XCOM that we probably have nothing to say about.
I would point to my previous question, previous answer, saying they're going to do the things that they do well.
Stephen Lemire writes, "Hey,
and
thumbs,
other good stuff."
Jake's TF2 adventure. I was just wondering how Jake and Telltale were doing in the developer TF2 tournament. I just got into the competitive side of TF2, and it's pretty astounding how differently it plays under standard comp rules. 6v6, no crits, even spread, etc. It's almost a completely different game. Anyway, glad the cast is back up and running. Good luck, Jake, Steven.
I mean, we played with the server set to tournament settings and stuff, but the only rules basically were class limits. So there weren't limits on crits or on...
It felt like playing, as somebody who doesn't know all that stuff, it felt like playing TF2 and we play every day, except we couldn't have oops all soldiers.
It basically meant that when we totally, totally lost to LucasArts Disney, we weren't able to literally just turn our team into 100% snipers because there was a class limit. So we had to turn some of them into spies disguised as snipers.
God, they just destroyed it. Shamed us.
We didn't even practice that week, though. We practiced for the next week.
We've been shamed. We were shamed week by week by week. Up until
fucking NetDevil Lego MMO team, who we schooled in like a few minutes. It was
served
watching
them up.
Watching that round is fun.
It's on YouTube.
We knew that LucasArts Disney was going to destroy us to the point that we didn't even practice on that map. We just practiced for the NetDevil Lego map.
Luke Skywalker and Mickey Mouse were going to high five over our corpses.
But how did you guys know they were going to destroy you?
Because they had not lost, and the talk was those are like the best fucking guys, and they're all in the same goddamn
game. I see. Okay.
So
there's a Steam group.
Okay.
And we
so this
also
is
knew.
What I think is ridiculous, right? Okay. Explain.
Go ahead.
Explain this to me. Why does the best team ever get to combine the best people from LucasArts and Disney? Fucking Telltale Games.
It's because
fields an entire team itself. BioWare and EA and fucking everyone in the world teams up.
I agree with your sentiment because we literally were like, can we scrape people? Like, you want it? Like, we're like, I was under the impression getting the Studio Rumble that like it would be BioWare. They would get their 10 guys plus like Susie from accounting, and they would just like a softball team. Like, I played corporate softball at my last job because we were big enough.
I think some
I thought it was going to be like that.
I think some seasons
it was not.
More like that.
They fielded, like, I feel like
it was
like.
I mean, it seems like everyone else gamed it so that they would have like
assassin
weird
tryouts.
It wasn't deliberate. It's just that I don't think people could field huge teams, so it was just the diehards from those companies.
Well, BioWare's a small studio. I mean, they have.
Well, I don't
you know.
The preference in the studio
it's true, they
thing,
are. Yeah.
It is like. They prefer to have teams that are studio based.
But we are 60 people who make adventure games.
I know. That's
God damn it.
Well, like, what?
It was awesome. It was really fun.
I think Harmonix fielded a full team, but they were in the other division. Like, there were two ladders running, basically. Mm-hmm. And the NetDevil fielded two whole teams.
Yeah.
And NetDevil, see, the reason, here's what was going on. NetDevil Lego, like us, had lost every game in the season. And we said, oh man, maybe if we spend 2 weeks instead of 1 week, we can beat this one team that has also lost.
Because you're on a different map every week, under different rules.
And you know in advance.
So we know that we're going to be on the one, what is it, ABCD?
I don't remember. It's the one with,
whatever.
It's the one with 5 points where you can capture the last point first if you want, but you have to be a scout and jump to it. It's a good level. It's a great map.
It's really good.
Oh yeah, that is a really good map. I forget what it's called, but it's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is a fantastic map.
So I feel kind of bad for the NetDevil Lego guys because they also were like, this is the one time we got, and Telltale's lost every match. But then we actually,
hilarious.
The team played reasonably well, and it's fun if you go and watch the YouTube video. We knew that they were probably at our same skill level, so they could probably be faked out by our same stupid, like, Mighty Duck shenanigans.
There was a flying V.
So, like, you know, there's a thing where basically at the beginning of the round when we were attacking, we just started shooting rockets out of the spawn so that they would think that perhaps some sort of conflict was occurring at point A. Well, three or four scouts
there
were
was a wag
e.
the dog scenario at point A.
And it apparently, well, you can tell that because even the server admin was fooled because the camera in the spectator thing is just pointing at point A and looking at these explosions, and then it goes, boom, enemy is capturing your point or whatever.
So this really
and
is like run. An underdog sports movie.
Yeah. 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 It's like, it says like 4x, 6x on point E, and then the camera just like shakes and goes fucking flying, clipping through the map to get to E, and you just see three scouts sitting there, and then like the heavy rolls in and soldiers to just firing rockets at their spawn to keep people out of it, and then we just won. It was hilarious.
Oh man.
I couldn't actually play the game, which sucked because I was sequestered in a room secretly making an iPhone port.
iPad,
I mean. Mm-hmm. And then I just hear this woo, and I open the door, and it was the end of the goddamn Mighty Ducks outside in our office. It was hilarious.
That's rad.
But it is funny because I keep picturing like when it's like you're playing BioWare EA, I picture the team as like the fucking
Shepherds,
Mass Effect units, and like Dante,
Shepherds, Dante, and the girl from Mirror's Edge.
And you guys are like Guybrush Threepwood.
Right, but then it's like, oh man, Lego guys.
this little
we could take out the Lego guys, but like whereas before that
just an arm popped out of socket and a tear right, down the right, side exactly. of the face.
Right. Like the toys who are ruined.
Yeah. Right. So like yeah, the guys whose corporate mascots are like a dog who doesn't talk and builds wacky machines and Guybrush Threepwood or like Phone Bone or something. I don't know. Just getting rolled in a half by like
Shepherds,
by like Darth Vader and Space Marines and shit. But you know, we
you can beat up.
I guess I can beat up some Lego
on
mans.
The minifigs.
Yeah, it was really fun actually.
And I don't know, you guys have talked about TF2, I imagine, on this cast, but the game is amazing. Like this is my first introduction to the game, and it was every class. Is a different game. It's really weird. Like, so, I got addicted to the spy towards the end.
The Fortress gameplay model is good? Is what you're saying?
Very good.
This, like, type of multiplayer game that's now endured for a decade, at least?
I don't know. Yeah. I had played a little bit of TFC
back
like in the day.
Yeah, it's been, years now.
But, like, playing that spy is like playing an entire... You're like, oh, I'm just going to be an actor and play a totally different game than the rest of you. Oh, my God. It's so good. Yeah, we had a lot of fun playing that. So, good question. Thank you.
So, Samantha L...
Oh, I will say one more thing. One more thing. Which is that, just for kicks... the week after we won that one game, we all put on Telltale shirts and found the shittiest corner in the office and took a fake team photo of our whole team trying to look tough or confused. And we'll be putting that up on our blog in the next couple days. So if you want to visit Telltale Games blog, that finally will go up soon. Stupid photo, but yeah, maybe links to those YouTube videos of us destroying the Lego guys,
Lego Massacre, yeah. 2010.
Anyway.
So Samantha L writes, "Hey guys, I know you were looking for questions instead
of anecdotes. She can call me.
So how about at 55 Wizard on?
How did you know?
So how about an anecdote with some questions at the end? All right. So she says, I used to hate all games with guns. I'm a very anxious person and hated the tension associated with fighting. I loved watching my brothers play games, however, and have a lot of fondness for games like Half-Life and Mafia. This past Christmas, our family bought an Xbox 360, and I decided it was time to jump in and shoot some dudes. I picked up Fallout 3, which ended up being the perfect game to start with. Besides the game being awesome, VATS took off the pressure of combat while I figured out the controls and strategy. I put about 200 hours across three characters into the game and decided to look for more games. Now I'm working through Half-Life and Bioshock. Do you have any suggestions of must-play games for a relatively inexperienced gamer?" I really like that email because that reminds me of one of my friends, Kyle, who was not really a big gamer but had that same experience with Morrowind, which is another Bethesda game, where does not play a lot of games. But I remember when Morrowind came out, he got it on his PC because I don't even think he had a console at the time of his own, and just put hundreds of hours into that game. And like that was the right blend of kind of real-time stuff, but not twitchy like gamer game. I don't know. It was interesting to see that. Whenever that game came out, 2003 or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So we owe Samantha some recommends.
Yeah. One of the classic ones.
She's playing Half-Life and Bioshock?
Yeah, I think she said Half-Life and Mafia is what she said. Bioshock would be she's working through Half-Life and Bioshock. And she also mentioned Mafia. Yeah.
Man, it's like, this is like you kind of like, when I give a friend like a book they haven't read, you know, there's kind of that envy on like, you don't even know what's coming.
I know, it's the best, yeah.
Oh,
one of my go-to games for this is always Beyond Good and Evil. because I thought that game was so cool and fun and well made, and what such a great world, and not a crazy hardcore nutso game. Like it was just a really pleasant, awesome, fun experience. I liked the entire game.
That game doesn't have guns in it, though.
Do they need to have guns?
I thought those were shooting games.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it has to have guns.
You shoot like a melee attack.
I don't know. She said, "Do you have any suggestions of must-play games for a relatively inexperienced gamer?" I don't think she demands they have guns now that she's willing to play a game with guns.
You should probably play Portal as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely play Portal.
Obvious one.
The Half-Life.
And that'll
episodes,
also, what'll be nice about Portal is you'll bone up on your FPS chops without that stress that you were talking about.
That game, yeah.
Until
game
there's those turrets that murder
stress,
you.
Yeah. Right, but I mean, it introduces you to that really nicely. You know? God, play Portal.
Yeah, Portal is standout in that respect.
It's so funny. Like, it's like somebody just calls you. I want to play video games.
Yeah, it's tough. I hope you're happy with murdering
that.
Hundreds of dudes.
Games I'm the worst person to answer this question because I'm playing Far Cry 2 right now. Like, a total thumb. I am playing that game right now.
So you'd recommend Clint Hawking's Far Cry 2.
Clint Hawking's Far Cry... Mr. Hawking's Far Cry 2 is a good recommend.
Oh, man. You know what game doesn't really fit the tone of this email, but I want to mention it anyway as a seg that people should still play is The Last Express by Jordan Mechner.
Mechner.
We just talked about that last week, didn't we?
Yeah, but the reason I bring it up is because... Movie. So remember how last week I said Jordan Mechner told me he is working on some way to bring... Oh, yeah. Last Express back.
Paul Verhoeven.
Paul Verhoeven's going to make a movie.
This is not technically confirmed yet, but he told MTV, he's like, yeah, I'm working on this movie. It's based on an existing franchise. It's set in 1914, and it's kind of like Hitchcock meets Indiana Jones. And they're like, oh, really? Is it a book or something? He's like, no, no, it's a different thing. And they're like, what is it? And he's like, oh, it's another kind of property. And they're like, what? What? Game. It's a video game. There's no other fucking video game set in 1914 at all, except for maybe some World War One game.
Which no one makes.
Which very few people have made. Yeah, the History Channel made one, I think. That is so remotely anything like Hitchcock and
RoboCop and Starship Troopers. You will love The Last Express.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A weird,
quiet, plotting train mystery,
old world, Agatha Christie
adventure
tale.
Game.
Yeah.
With an egg, with a Fabergé egg. I want to give Samantha games.
Yeah.
I want to give Samantha games.
All right.
This is I mean, I want to. I don't have any on tap. Oh, is what I'm saying. I have the desire to give her.
If you
video
the
games.
Readers have game recommendations that a person should play who hasn't played that many games but has shot a fucking face in Half-Life now and thought it was cool.
That's a really good idea, Jake.
Send a game in to questions@idlethumbs.net.
We'll wait for your answers, then we'll edit them back into this podcast.
No, we can talk about them next week.
And post this to an internet.
Oh, that's better.
But
idea.
After this coming week, stop sending them in.
If you want to play, if you want to play, this is something that Steve's been talking about, and another friend. But if you want to play a third-person open-world thing,
Bully
is a really great example of
really cool.
Thematically, you're going to be in a different space. You're not going to be a space marine, or you're not going to be a dude who's buff as shit shooting faces. You're going to be a kid in school, and it's a really, really kind of interesting open world. It's magical. It's a magical open world game. It's very quirky, but also has some of the violent stuff too.
It's got some magical mechanics that
you play with your mind. It's magical.
It's sort of,
get Bully for iPad. That just came out.
There are various points of magic in that game.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, play Bully.
No, Bully is really awesome. Jake and I, we traded off controller for a while in that game, right?
We did a few hours in it, I think. We never got into the town, though, because we're lame.
Or if you want to shoot faces, I think you can probably grab a GTA episode now without having to get the whole
game. You know what? They just came out. Not that I'm recommending this specifically, but just as a side note, the GTA 4 episodes just came out on Steam, and I already had Lost and Damned on 360, and I grabbed it on PC, and I hadn't played Ballad of Gay Tony yet, and I started playing that last night, and it just reminded me, goddamn, what a well-constructed, cool world. It also reminded me, even though I do have some issues, like I alluded to a couple weeks ago, with, the dissonance between the straight-up just telling you a story in a cutscene, and then also you get to be a fucking maniac. There's a little bit of dissonance there, but I don't know. Within the context of video games, those guys do it about as well as
you
could possibly hope. I mean, the writing in those games reminds me of guilty pleasure kind of gangster crime movies that are not great, but really enjoy.
Really good
and
pulpy
really,
comics.
Yeah.
You know?
And they do that so well. People get carried away and talk about Oscar winning screenplays and shit, but what those games do.
Right,
try
it's
to
not
do,
that,
like,
but it's fun.
Yeah, it's not that, but it's fun, and it's really convincing, and it's what it's trying to
be.
But
games are art, Chris. Games will be art. Heavy rain.
That's true. But, even just in the Ballad of Gay Tony, the two characters that you're first introduced to, right? I think his name is Luis, this, sort of second-in-command to Gay Tony who runs these nightclubs. Already, those two guys are some of the most unique and interesting characters I've ever played in a video game, just by virtue of their demographics. That's how single-minded games are, that even just by having a gay guy and a Hispanic guy, it's already outside of the normal sphere of what you do in every single other video game. And
except for my shepherd, who is the gay Hispanic that I made.
That's true.
Yeah. Dracula.
Dracula Shepherd. Yeah. He's a good man. Also Mist.
Did you name yours Dracula?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I originally had made a girl and I wanted to call her Dr. Girlfriend, but it got to Dr. Girlfriend. Yeah. And then I sat there for about 30 seconds and I said, what's another cool name? And wrote Dracula.
Because you added the DR in there?
Yeah. Yeah. I just moved forward.
That's awesome.
So I'm like 10 hours or 12 hours in as Dracula Shepard.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. So.
Oh, no. But, I mean, and
I'm
obviously,
excited to hear what people think for Shannon. Or what?
No, I mean.
Samantha. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you can play these episodes too. But I don't want to, by the way, I don't want to imply that just because you make a character like of a that's just not regular standard.
It's multicultural. That's what you want.
I mean, that doesn't mean obviously your characters are good or your writing's good, but also they are.
If your character's a white dude, you're a hack.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. You're automatically racist and bullshit. So
wow.
Yeah.
The more you know.
Do we have more reader emails, or are we done? Because we might be done.
We're pretty much done. Well, actually. Since you mentioned, there's an email that ties into.
Since you mentioned racism, and
hacks. Into racism.
No, someone wrote
Alhambra.
Jared Garst writes, "Will we ever see the Citizen Kane of games of movies? That is, will we ever
the
see
Citizen
a movie
Kane of games
that
of
captures
movies?
The narrative and dramatic sophistication of the Citizen Kane of games?" That's like, his email. I just really liked that email.
I'm going to need one more time.
All right. His email is entitled The Citizen Kane of Games of Movies. Will we ever see the Citizen Kane of Games of Movies? That is, will we ever see a movie that captures the narrative and dramatic sophistication of the Citizen Kane of Games? I just really like that the Citizen Kane of Games has turned into such a self-contained buzzword that now, like, it's not even related to film anymore. It's just the Citizen Kane of games. It's this incredible hypothetical achievement in video game narrative design.
If it was
that film might hope to someday replicate.
If it would have been Citizen Steve, you wouldn't hear Citizen Steve of games. It's because Kane and games sound good next to each other. I've decided just officially that's why.
It's because Kane
and also
is a totally
the movie's
badass,
pretty. The movie's you know, okay.
It's a totally badass name.
Rosebud.
Video game.
All right, okay, I guess we're done. All right, thanks for having me on, guys.
You're welcome. Thanks, Sean, for coming to the podcast. Questions at idlethumbs.955 wizard on.
Thank you.
It's the Ides of April.
You don't have to say that.
I'm saying it.
Okay,
because the Ides of April 2010 is hilarious.
That sounds like a fucking EA presents, like,
Visceral Games, the Ides of April 2010.
Some 1 month late assassination of Julius Caesar.
Yeah, exactly. What if Julius Caesar survived the assassination attempt on the Ides of March and lived for 30 more days?
And they came back for more.
You've got to, yeah, you have 30 days to fucking kick ass.
You have 30
ass.
Hours.
Yeah. Yeah, you have 30 hours.
What?
It's Julius Caesar's last
like
day.
An hour day-night cycle in the game every time.
Yeah.
Well, then it's no longer, it's not the Ides of, you've got to do that.
Well, no, but I mean, the in-game world just gives you one day lasts for 1 hour inside the game.
Oh, okay. So
exactly. And the game starts on March 15th after you've been stabbed by Brutus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then you have to, but you tap A over
like
and over to get back
power
up.
Yeah.
That is, you know.
Oh, or that.
And then the enemies from there on out are called the Brutes. They'll come after you.
Yeah, they totally are. And when you stab one of them in the face with like a crazy finishing move.
He's like, Etu.
A shotgun is fucking cocked every time right before he explodes.
Yeah.
The year
stab
zero.
Him in the face and they just the head explodes.
I'd play that.
You're horrible.
Sorry. And there's a guy named
there's life and job that guy.
Yeah, there's a guy
has.
Who's like who
we record all the worst stuff now.
Yeah, there's a guy whose name is Ball Sack and I was
Ball
like
Ball Sack.
Yeah, but it was misspelled, you know.
Yeah.
Wasn't just B-A-L-L.
I was referring to
space
Balzac.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's talking to the Balzac, the giant puff-up balloon that you can get.
That you bounce around on and sit on and stuff, I think. I forget.
Yeah, sit on my Balzac. That was the theme.
That's just like Mr. Bucket.
Mr. Bucket.
Oh, yeah, balls come out of his mouth.
Mr. Bucket.
Yeah.
Put a ball in his face.
No, it's I don't think that's what it is.
I'm pretty sure it's not what
that's
happens.
That, well, that was the sequel where you just, it's this weird
you
sort
stuff.
Of,
get the fuck get in there.
Well, you put the balls into the tea bag.
Oh, and then you dip them into his.
You dip them, yeah, but
face.
then your balls pop out of his mouth for sure, though. That's definitely in the slogan.
The balls pop out of his mouth for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Bucket.
Mr. Bucket.
Your balls pop out of his mouth for sure.
Terrible.
Some parts sold separately.
What?
Some parts sold separately. Oh. I always say that at the end.
Balls.
Your parents help you hook it up.
Yeah. That was always fucking bullshit, by the way, when they show those giant goddamn Hot Wheels tracks that were just like, this is going to fucking dominate your house. It's like,
well,
some parts sold
kids,
separately.
That's what all kids have.
Well,
like,
the Hot Wheel track.
Hot Wheels. I thought you meant big wheels that you ride
on. No, I meant Hot Wheel track.
Hot Wheels
where it'd be
track.
Like, oh my god, I'm going to have to My parents are going to have to clear out their room so I can just like put my giant ass loop-de-loop in here. Yeah. Nope. You got like 4 square feet of track.
You can make most of a figure eight.
Some parts sold separately.
Yeah, he just makes a little oval.
Right.
My entire life was ruined by some parts sold separately.
You never got those extra parts.
Oh, that should be a blog post, actually.
I never got those extra parts.
Those Sean parts Benham that were sold separately my parents did not buy.
Nor did they help me hook it up.
God, no.
My balls came out of his mouth.
For sure.
For sure. For sure.
IGN.com.
Tell you about grandeur. The 45 minutes I spent when I found the fucking... Nobody told me there was a fucking hang glider in that game. And I was like, I wonder what's with this path that goes to nowhere. Oh, fucking hang glider! Yeah. What the fuck? Why is that here? Picked it up, ran towards the edge of the thing, right into the ground. Like, dropped, like, because there was, like, a ledge that went, like, probably, like, 40 feet. Another 50 feet into water, and I landed on the ledge.
Just like a cartoon where you bounce down, and then
my health is all jacked. Like, fix myself and flip it over, and now it's stuck in between this rock crevasse. 40 minutes of me crouching and jumping, trying to move it out of there.
That's the funniest thing in a video game when you like can't, you won't give up on this stupid little thing.
I need this hang glider.
Yeah,
crouching and jumping, and pushed it off, and then it went into the water and sank. And then dude showed up in a fucking boat and lit my ass up.
See, this is a good story already.
All right, I'll tell that story.
Far Cry 2 never stops being hilarious.
Yeah.
And good.
Far Cry 2.
It never stops being on our podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what you meant to say, actually. Yeah. By hilarious, you mean mentioned.
Yeah.
That's a good game.
Always.
It's a very good game.
Present. I heard that it's a game.
It's so good. Ugh, it's...